I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Pitch and a high fly ball hits a deep right field. Forget about it. Long gone. Kyle Tucker with his first home run as a Cub.
Kyle drives one in the air to right field. Down the line. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is gone.
He's a good hitter. I mean, that's what we've seen.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
So, yeah, Kyle Tucker's a good hitter. He's a really smart hitter. He walked more than he struck out last year. Remember that the only three guys who did that and qualified for the batting title last year were Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Stephen Kwan. Those are the only players who did it. Not even Luis Arraez did it last year. So, Kyle Tucker is a very special kind of hitter, and to have that kind of power along with it is a big, big deal in terms of his profile. He's also an excellent defensive right fielder and a very solid base runner. He's a quiet dude, and that's fine. Be who you are. But what's interesting is what is going to happen if Kyle Tucker is one and done. Because, look, we can talk about the finances of the Cubs and the finances of baseball, and Lord knows there's been a lot about that during the course of the week. That graphic that circulated and went viral, then Pat Mooney and Kenny Rosenthal wrote a big follow-up piece on it on The Athletic with new quotes from Crane Kenny and Tom Ricketts in there on the finance of it. And I'm loath to discuss that kind of stuff during the season. Frankly, there's just so much interesting baseball. But I certainly understand the frustration of Cub fans. And you want him signed long-term, and they should sign him long-term. I absolutely think they should. But let's think about it this way, shall we? Let's say he's one and done. What level of success is acceptable to you from the Cubs this year if he's one and done? If a Kyle Tucker driven offense is as good as it's been so far, and they are one of the best offenses in baseball, and they make it to the World Series and win the World Series with a Kyle Tucker-led offense, and he's a big-time player. If they win the World Series, is it worth having given up, yes, Cam Smith and Hayden Wesneski and Isak Paredes, even if those guys all go on to 4, 5, 6 years of consequence with the Astros, okay? Is it worth it if they win the World Series? Your answer better be a resounding yes. If it's not, it should be, because that's how baseball works. That's how trades work. You win a World Series, it costs a lot. Maybe it costs a lot with payroll dollars and that hamstring you into the future. Maybe it costs a lot with trade assets that hamstring you into the future. But this is why you have trade assets, is to do it. So look, if you win a World Series with Kyle Tucker being a big part of it, it is no question asked, completely worth it. Even if Cam Smith ends up being a great right fielder as good as Kyle Tucker and under salary control for 6 years. Period. It's worth it if you win the World Series. Then the next question. If they make the World Series with Kyle Tucker leading the offense and they don't win it, but they make the World Series, is that worth it? Is that worth it for the trade? To me, that is a resounding yes as well. What is the object of the exercise to get there? Can you control winning a given ball game with the randomness of baseball? Who knows why they lose when I'm saying this? But getting to the World Series? Hell yes. You can't say all you got to do is get in and then it's crapshoot from there. You can't say that and believe that and then be angry that they didn't quite get there to finish the deal when they put together a team that was good enough. The Dodgers finally won last year. You know, I mean, there's a million ways. So, look, to me, it's a resounding yes if you just get there. What if you get to the NLCS and you play a really good NLCS, but you lose in 6 or 7 games because of the randomness of baseball? And it's a one-year rental for Kyle Tucker. And all those things I said about the guys you said at the Astros are still true. Is it worth it if you made it to the NLCS? I think it is. I think it is because of the aforementioned randomness of baseball, perhaps being the reason that you don't get further. And it would sting more in that situation, but I think it is worth it. That's a yes to me. Where do you draw the line? If they make the playoffs and win the division, 92 wins, 93 wins with a Kyle Tucker-led offense, and then lose in the first round of the playoffs, and it's over in a flash, and he's one and done and he's gone. Is that worth it? I don't know, man. Maybe not. But you know what? That's cruel. That is in some ways fickle and just a brutal truth to the nature of team sports and MLB playoffs in general. Because you were good all year and then you get in, but it happens all the time. Look at Braves fans in recent years. A couple years ago, they won 100 games, lost in the first round, right? Remember the year the Giants and the Dodgers both won 100 games and had to play each other in the first round and somebody's toast all of a sudden and your whole year goes up in flames. So is it worth it? Where do you draw the line? I want to know what you think, Cubs fans, at 312-644-6767. We'll add that into the topics of conversation as we roll on here on Hit and Run on The Score. This is Phil in Lombard on Hit and Run this morning. What's up, Phil? How are you? Hello, Phil. Did I hit the wrong button? I did, huh? Would you hit the buttons from now on? Would you unhit that button? I'm going to put him on hold. Let's put Phil on hold. There he is. Phil, you're on the show. What's up?
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just had a question and a couple thoughts. I want to know what you guys think.
Okay.
First of all, today I know the Padres are starting a left-hander, and I think it may be a good day with PCA struggling, maybe to give him a day off. My question is, who is the Cubs' backup center fielder? I mean, would they move Ian Happ over there and maybe either put Suzuki in the lineup and left or John Birdie? I'm just curious about that and your thoughts. And second of all, with the bullpen, I know I think it's still a concern. And what would you think of once Javier Assad comes off the DL? I always thought that maybe him and I don't know why Jordan Wicks isn't up with the team, but those two would be like very good first guys out of the bullpen, you know, who could potentially go one, maybe even two innings a couple times a week. Just want to know your thoughts on them two things. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. I don't know that Wicks is somebody they trust for that kind of role. It's a lot to mess with somebody and move them back and forth. In that way, Assad has shown the ability to handle it. I think that will be Assad's role. Assad will be a long guy, but he'll also be a guy you can use in the middle innings, and he'll be a big factor. I should have mentioned him as we talked about the bullpen and the circle of trust, because he'll certainly be ahead of Pearson and you know, probably Merriweather, depending on situations. Assad is going to be a serious weapon to add in, but they might use Assad to, you know, piggyback. Ben Brown, who goes today, it's an interesting choice to have Ben Brown in the rotation as opposed to Ben Brown in the bullpen. I like the choice because it means more outs. I think it's aggressive to use Ben Brown in a way to get more outs. So maybe that means Assad will be in the bullpen, and it's a worthwhile question. Backup center fielder is probably Ian Happ. I wonder, how much has Tucker played center field in his life? He's probably played some of it. Check on that, would you, Robbie, or tell the associate producer to check the stats and see how much Kyle Tucker has played defensively in center field. But certainly Ian Happ is a guy who can play defensively in center field in a pinch. Texture's getting in on the Kyle Tucker conversation. If they win the World Series, of course it's worth it. If Tucker is a one and done, says another texter, hasn't the Cubs' whole process for the last 5 years just been a waste, a lie to take advantage of Cubs fan goodwill? I don't think it's been a lie to take advantage of Cubs fan goodwill if he's one and done, as long as they spend money to be super competitive next year and beyond and beyond. I will say this. If Tucker isn't the guy that you're investing in long term, who is? You know, five-tool dude, thoroughly legit, seemingly with more potential on the table, healthy, really good at an important position, and seemingly a decent dude. Like, I get that you didn't want to invest in Chris Bryant long term because he had fallen out of love with the game and you watched it up close, and you were right. I get that you didn't want to invest in Anthony Rizzo long term. Schwarber stings. Schwarber stings and should still be here. Obviously, we get that you didn't want to invest in Javi Baez, but if not Tucker, who?
That's my overall feeling, because if you can't pay him, if this trade works out and Kyle Tucker is awesome here like he's been so far, and you don't pay him, what if you're a Cubs fan, how do you feel? Like, oh, I can never get that true guy or have him stay. Why should I go to the ballpark and pay this person that much amount of money if they aren't willing to invest in me?
Because it's a great fan. Because it's a great ballpark and it's super fun and you like to be there. You know,
that's just a fleeting thought as a fan to be like, I can never have greatness because of them not wanting to spend the money to do so.
I understand. But they do know, to the texture's point, they do know that it's a terrific ballpark and you really like to be there.
It's the best. I'm going today.
I know you are going today.
The best park.
You think so?
Yes.
Oh, so all right. So give us a little window into pitch and catch. What's been going on over there, Robbie and Ruben? What has been the show?
So I've been asking about what he likes about baseball and what his current thoughts about baseball. His number one thing right now is he loves the torpedo bats.
I wouldn't say love, but hey.
He's intrigued by the torpedo bats.
Very much so.
You are? Why? I didn't realize that. It's never come up with me.
I mean, they can hit homers when they don't try. Yeah. I mean,
the bats are juiced.
It's a problem.
Well, I don't know, it could be
a problem.
You know that big orange bat that you play in the backyard, you know, wiffle ball?
Exactly. Yeah.
The big thick wiffle bat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan. Yeah.
We should put those in the game.
Oh my God.
I think they basically have. All right. Well, that's good. Interesting. Hold that thought, Robbie. We'll get more on what's been going on in pitch and catch as we go on throughout during the show. This is Dave in Pleasant Prairie on the Score. Dave, what's up? You're on Hit and Run. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Awesome. Hey, listen, I want to piggyback on Kyle Tucker. I think with the assets that we have sent to get him and with the salary cap that the Cubs have available to him, I don't know. I really believe that this is a no-brainer. And there might be trepidation at $500 million-plus, but, I mean, I really believe that he can be worth it and be that 10-year guy that Cub fans could really wrap their hands around and, you know, be like this Hall of Fame guy that we could have on our team for a long time.
Yeah. How will you feel if he's one and done? What do they need to do? As per my question, if he is one and done, is there anything that can happen this year that makes it feel okay for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, getting to the World Series would be outstanding. Winning it, of course. But just to get to the playoffs, not good enough. That to me wouldn't make me feel very good. And it would really sour me on the club a little bit more if they just couldn't get it done with this guy.
Understood, Dave. Thank you. When John Smoltz was the player traded from the Tigers to the Braves in 1987, you know, people didn't realize he was going to end up being as great as he was with the Braves. what the Tigers thought was, we need Doyle Alexander. We need Doyle Alexander for down the stretch. And Robbie, longtime Tiger fan, is laughing. Do you know what Doyle Alexander did down the stretch for the 87 Tigers?
No, I do not.
He went 9-0 with a 1.45 ERA, and the Tigers won the division.
That's my guy.
So, I mean, but think about it. Like, he went 9-0, and they won the division with a 1.45 ERA. And that is probably the standard bearer is like, oh, no. You got to be careful what you give up. Alexander helped them win the division, and they made it to the playoffs. And then he was terrible in the playoffs, and they lost. And then he was bad the next year, and he was bad the year after that. But at the time, it was praised all around the game. And if he had been good in the playoffs and they won the World Series or even made it to the World Series in 87, people would be like, yeah, hell yeah, you do that. And maybe that trade would be looked at differently. I always think about that one. This is the nature of the business. The other one I always think about is I remember when the Royals traded for Johnny Cueto in 2015, and we had Jeff Passan on the air, and I said to Jeff, I said, hey, man, they gave up Brandon Finnegan. They gave up the young lefty prospect, Brandon Finnegan. Is that going to bite them in the ass? Like, you know, do you worry about that? And Passan condescended to me, as only he can. And he said, if they win the World Series, no one's going to care if Brandon Finnegan ends up being good. This is what you do. And they won the World Series. And Brandon Finnegan did not end up being good. You know, he was in Cincinnati, and then he was in Washington, I think, and he bounced around. I don't think he's in baseball right now as Brandon Finnegan. So that one blew up. And so, of course, it was worth it to get Johnny Cueto. And if they win the division and make the playoffs, Jed Hoyer in his heart of hearts is going to think it was worth it, no matter what Cam Smith turns into. It just, you know, you get in, you win the division, and you get in with a chance, then he's going to think that trade was worth it. And it'll be a different kind of debate if they lose in the first round than it will be if they lose in the NLCS, than it will be if they lose in the World Series or win in the World Series. It is going to be a very different debate based on a tiny little sample, and we'll have to point to the full season. Man, it's interesting. I do agree with the caller that Kyle Tucker is exactly the kind of player and the kind of profile that you should be investing in, that you should be wanting to invest in. This is John in his car on 670 The Score. John, you're listening to Hit and Run. You've been screened by the associate producer, and now you're up. What's up, man?
I may have the most unusual question you've had in the last few months. I'm going to go back to last season. Ohtani's in the dugout. The ball boy is in front of him. The ball gets hit as a line drive. Ball boy intercepts it just before it hits Ohtani's face.
Okay.
Now, essentially, he either saved Ohtani's life and or a terrible injury. Having said that, Ohtani only makes $1 million a week. Did he reward that guy?
I don't know the answer to that. And I couldn't have seen that coming if you paid me that $1 million. I am watching the highlight right now from last year. It's Kike Hernandez who fouls off a ball that goes right at Ohtani, to your point. And the ball boy, number 94, makes a sweet catch. It's the bat boy. So was the bat boy rewarded? These are the kind of questions that make me want to wake up in the morning. They really do. So all I'm seeing in terms of news stories are stories from late last June when it actually happened. I have to assume Ohtani took care of him. Maybe he placed one less bet on an international soccer game.
Right.
Oh, sorry, that wasn't him.
He
My
was
bad.
Like, in a year from now, why don't you take Houston over Duke, okay? Cooper Flagg's he's not going to have a good game. Hey, okay, then you take that.
Okay. Cooper Flagg, why are you shooting a fadeaway? Why are you shooting a fadeaway in that final moment, man? I mean, what do you do? You're Cooper Flagg. Attack the basket. Maybe you get fouled. Aggression gets rewarded, just like at the poker table. Cooper, God, you turned it into pick and roll. John, I don't know. If I find out during the course of the show that bat boy was given some money or some something, but why isn't the love and affection and validation of the players enough for the bat boy? We'll work on this.
I love that's the call, though, the hit and run.
Yeah, but hey, of course it is. Remember last week, You know, how dare I not get Carlton Fisk?
I gotta go to my Ohtani bat boy source, yeah. Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, let's go to Pat in Palatine on 670 The Score. Hello, Pat. You're on Hit and Run. Good morning.
Hey, Speaks. I had a question for you, and I think it kind of goes along with what you're saying, but it's a fear of mine with the Cubs. I'm a lifelong Cubs fan.
Okay.
And is Kyle Tucker, say things work out as great as they bet, say he hits 40 homers, say he's National League MVP, and that's great, and the Cubs win the division. I think we look here right now, can they beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series? Potentially, yes. Likely, probably not the favorites, but potentially. But just like back in 2016, the Cubs probably weren't going to win that World Series unless they trade for Aroldis Chapman. Does the move for Kyle Tucker and the assets they gave up already make it so Jed Hoyer then says, that's essentially our deadline move, we can't give up more assets to a piece that can put us over the top and make a real, real run at the NL?
No. It's a fair question. The answer is no. They've got some room. And remember, they had some room because they tried to get Bregman. And so they at least had room to make a feasible offer to Bregman. They didn't have enough room to make the go-get-him offer to Bregman that the Red Sox did, or apparently even the Tigers did. But they did have some room. And they'll have some room at the deadline to do more. No, so that's... Look, they didn't replace all the money that they got rid of with Bellinger going to the Yankees. They didn't. And I was told they were going to. I was told they were going to try. And I think they did try with Bregman and maybe a couple other things. But that means there is room. No. They will be aggressive. They should be aggressive. And if that means a closer to give up another kid and give up James Triantos for a closer, then maybe that's exactly what they'll do. You know, if they need another bullpen arm, we'll see how that bullpen develops. That's a big place to look. Offense looks pretty damn good to me. Offense looks solid, and there's more potentially on the way to help. Kevin Alcantara could come up to help. Owen Casey, once he's healthy and producing, could possibly come up to help. You know, so look, they will do more, and they should be expected to do more. At 10:40, Jim Margulis, Sox Machine himself, will join us. We'll get Team of the Moment in and continue to take your phone calls next on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Score.
Wade scores. Adames with a double. And the Giants take the lead. Hit up the middle of the base hit. And here comes Adames. And the Giants take the lead.
It's just the small things that add up to a big thing. Base hit, and you get a stolen base, put yourself in scoring position.
A possible winning run at second. Swing.
Line drive in the right field. Base hit. Here comes Fitzgerald. The throw. Swing. And the ball game is over. Willie Adames, in his first opening day as a Giant, gets his third hit of the game, and he is the hero.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
The San Francisco Giants are the team of the moment. Looking around MLB, it could have been so many. Could have been the Phillies, but they lost yesterday to the Dodgers. It could be the Cubs, who won five in a row and six out of seven. But instead, we go to the National League West, which is off to a crazy start. With the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants, it's the first time that three or more teams in the same division started 6-1 or better ever. And it's the second time that three teams in the same league ever even did it. This courtesy of Sarah Langs, the American League in 2003 had three teams that did it. So second time the three teams in the same league, and certainly the first time the three teams in the same division. Padres have come to Wrigley and lost two in a row. The Giants beating Seattle again last night find themselves now very, very solidly at 7-1. On the season, I've won six in a row, and last night it was Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray coming off Tommy John surgery. It's a really good trade by Farhan Zaidi, who gave up Anthony DeSclafani and Mitch Haniger, who neither of whom are in Seattle. Haniger got DFA'd. DeSclafani was flipped to Minnesota. But anyway, Robbie Ray, this trade looking pretty good right now. Robbie Ray, four hits, given up, gave up five walks, but picked off a couple of guys, ends up doing six innings of one-run ball, and the Mariners win at Oracle 4-1 over Seattle. Remember that this team was on fire in the spring. The Cactus League champions, 21-6-4 over 31 games out there in Arizona, best winning percentage in the majors in spring training, and have hit the ground running with a really good manager in Bob Melvin. And you heard the highlight there of their walk-off game winner at the home opener on Friday night from Willie Adames. $182 million for Willie Adames. Is he worth it as a ball player for that much, as a ball player alone? Solid shortstop, good hitter. But you know what he also is? Is a badass leader. Like a hardcore, great dude who teammates love and is there to help this team believe in itself and play hard every single freaking day. Willie Adames, beloved. Offensively, they've got it going with Matt Chapman, who had two doubles last night after being given a gold glove before the game again. So Matt Chapman and Jung-Hoo Lee. I love Jung-Hoo Lee. The grandson of the wind is the nickname for Jung-Hoo Lee because his father was a great player in Japan, was named Son of the Wind. So he is the grandson of the wind. Got hurt last year after, I think, just 37 games for the Giants because he ran into a wall. Folks, he's already run into a wall three times this year. He made the catch all three times, but this dude probably needs to stop running into walls, but he just freaking runs. There was a moment last night where he thought he had a triple. It was a ground rule double or an automatic double, as Boog likes to point out. It should be called every time. But Jungwoo Lee hauling ass around second, and he's ready to round third and go for home. And Matt Williams, the third base coach, is like, you might want to hold up here. Let's stop. Two arms up. Let's just stop. Let's relax. It's a ground rule double. Thank you. The hosts of Pitch and Catch right now are raising their hands. I appreciate the support. Jungwoo Lee, though, and Matt Chapman combined to go 5-for-8 with 4 doubles and 4 runs scored. There's a fan section in center field called the Jungwoo Crew for Jungwoo Lee. And last night, 2 doubles, a single, a stolen base, 2 runs scored. And, man, that dude. So you've got Jungwoo Lee and Chapman and Adames. And then in terms of the other offense, that's where it gets a little hinky. Helio Ramos, anybody? Luis Matos, anybody? Wilmer Flores, you know, a solid guy. But there's not a lot of superstar offensive talent. But there's a buzz around the Giants because of the start, because Justin Verlander is there now. Along with Logan Webb and Robbie Ray. Verlander only got 7 outs in his debut the other night, so that not so good. But Verlander looked real good in spring, and we'll have to see if he can stay healthy and effective. But Buster Posey now running things over there. The San Francisco Giants seem to be legit, which is going to make for a very interesting division with the D-backs and the Padres and the mighty Dodgers and the Giants too. Good stuff on your late night television for West Coast baseball. The Giants are your team of the moment. They joined last week the Yankees and spring training the Red Sox so far for your TOTM. See if Southside Ron can nail who that's going to be next week. Ron, you trier. All right, let's check back in before we take a break and talk Sox. Let's check back in on Pitch and Catch. Other topics that are coming up on the show on the other side of the glass include...
So I have one. I haven't prepped young Ruben about this one, but I don't know if you saw this yesterday during the Cubs game, that a section of the center field bleachers were blocked off because a goose made his spot into the planter box, into the bleachers, and he was there.
Oh, my God. Really?
So a goose made it into Wrigley Field, Ruben. How do you feel about birds in general?
I mean, it's like I'm fine with birds, but the fact that a goose got into the stadium... And blocked off a whole part of it.
Yeah, how do you think the goose got into the stadium, Rue?
I mean, it's an open stadium, right?
It's a good call. It's a good call.
How he flew in from above.
Exactly.
I think it flew. Yeah.
I can report Shane Reardon has texted the thread of the afternoon show and said he's got the father of the goose.
Because
we get the dad.
Did he put in the Slack?
Yeah, no. So the dad of the goose will be on the show tomorrow.
Oh.
You know, do we have Michael Kay talking about Japanese manga? This is an item for Pitch and Catch. Let's go ahead.
What do we got going here, Michael?
Well, that is, he wears a lot of things from an anime series called One Piece.
Yep.
And on his armband, you see Monkey D. Luffy, also known as Straw Hat Luffy. He's the captain and founder of the Straw Hat Pirates.
Nice.
And protagonist of the anime and manga series One Piece. I know you were asking about this, Paul, that Monkey D. Luffy has the properties of rubber after accidentally eating one of the devil fruits.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you explained that.
Jazz is a big anime fan.
So Jazz Chisholm, big Japanese anime fan, apparently big devotee of One Piece, and Michael Kay, the Yankees broadcaster, explains the characters and the plot of One Piece right there. Ruben, you love One Piece. How did Michael Kay do?
He did pretty good, except for 3 things.
Okay.
One, it's Luffy.
Okay.
Not Luffy. I know it looks that way, but it's Luffy, like L-O-O-F-F-Y.
Got it.
So, yeah. Second, it's not manga. It's a manga.
Uh-huh.
Overall, still pretty good. I guess it's hard to tell if you don't actually watch it, but he doesn't have the properties of rubber, even though it looks like it. He has the properties of a literal god.
Oh, really?
The sun god, to be exact.
Really?
So okay. It's definitely different from rubber.
So do you think that it's worthwhile for Michael Kay to have made the effort? He clearly just read,
yes.
He read some stuff, and that's why I pronounced stuff wrong.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the effort.
Yes. I mean, I see what he was trying to do. He did pretty good at it. Just some pronunciation and a little bit just, yeah, uninformed, I guess.
Yeah, uninformed is true. Okay,
yeah.
All right. Let's.
So it was pretty good, though.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you, Rue. So let's pass it on to Awful Announcing that Michael Kay was uninformed on Japanese manga.
Yep.
And I hope he gets mad at that.
This is going to make the round. Spirit Sports Need already. They report on it.
They better. They better. It's hit and run on a Sunday morning here on 670 The Score. Pitch and catch happening on the other side. Let's talk White Sox with Jim Margulis, the longtime Sox blogger, the dad of Sox Machine. He knows lots and has a great perspective on what the Sox are doing on the big league field and otherwise. Top of the hour, Eno Saris from The Athletic, Chris Kampka from Marquee next hour. And Lee Smith, Big Lee. Lee Smith at 11:40 on Hit and Run on The Score.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And Smith's pitch, strike three called, outside corner, the 1-2, and a fastball there, swing and a miss, strike three. The runners go, and the pitch, swing and a miss, breaking ball there, strike three. No balls, two strikes. Smith and the pitch, swing and a miss, fastball, strike three. As McGarry swings and misses the windup in the 1-2, and he chases that one out of the zone, strike three. 10 strikeouts for Hagen Smith, 6 straight strikeouts for Smith, and 9 in a row set down by Smith. So back-to-back games now, the Barons have had a stretch where they've retired 13 in a row, and in the case of tonight, 9 in a row.
That is one of the greatest young pitching prospects in baseball. One of the two best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball, both of whom are members of the Birmingham Barons. That is Hagen Smith striking out 10 last night in his season debut for the Barons. I wonder how much our next guest is paying attention to that as opposed to the big league club. Let's welcome in Jim Margulis, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. SoxMachine.com is your indispensable source for all things White Sox throughout the entire organization. Been a long time since I talked to Jim. How are you, Sarah? Good morning.
I'm good, and funny that you mentioned it, I'm in Birmingham.
Ha ha! There it is. So, you know, so let's ask the question, though, in a general, like, all during the course of the year, are you going to watch more Birmingham Barons games or Chicago White Sox games?
I feel blessed because I live in Nashville. Birmingham is a three-hour drive, straight shot down I-65, so I basically have a refuge anytime I get too overloaded with what the White Sox look like, that I can just take a quick jaunt either to Birmingham, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Bowling Green, like a whole bunch of outposts here that either the Barons play or the Winston-Salem Dash play. So I can kind of get a cleansing of the major league product and focus on the prospects who might be able to help the White Sox dig out of it. So yeah, I can imagine being there a little bit more frequently this year, and I don't mind.
And you've obviously got James Fegan on staff, who's going to cover things on the big league level extremely well, and we know that much. So tell me what you think of the infrastructure in Birmingham. Like, how do you feel about these important arms, these massively important pieces being consolidated down there? Is that a good teaching ground? Is that the best place for them to be right now?
Yeah, I think it's fine. There's maybe a little bit of, manipulation is too strong of a word, but in terms of maybe they're holding back Noah Schultz a little bit with the conservative assignment in Birmingham, but it's not out of place that he's there, especially if he's learning to throw every 5 days. Hagen Smith, it's an appropriate place for him to start. Grant Taylor may be the exception just because he's skipping high A. But the stuff plays with him. It's just a matter of him actually staying healthy enough to build up the workload, and they're putting him on a very, the plan they had on Schultz last year, where he is limited to three innings, but he's starting every 5 days or every five games this time, whereas Schultz is every Saturday. So they have a plan for him. While they're skipping a level, they are keeping it conservative in terms of workload and how much he's expected to take on. So when you put all these guys on the same level, I think maybe the biggest benefit, besides maybe working with the same instructor, sharing some information between them, is that if any of them have exceptional starts to their season in Birmingham, they're not going to be one step away from the majors like they would be if they were in Charlotte and they started out with a hot April, and then they'd be expected to be thrust into a major league team that might be beyond their help, and it doesn't do them any good to be up there in May. So it gives them a little bit of upward mobility without being dragged down by whatever is happening at the major league level.
It seems like an extension of the Project Birmingham idea in terms of, I'm not talking about the locale, I'm just talking about sort of consolidating your most important arms in a place where you could theoretically keep the best eye on them and develop them the best. I'm trying to figure out where the best teaching is within the organization. And we haven't even touched on the big league club, and we don't really need to that much right now, I'll tell you the truth. But like, where is the best teaching? Where's the best spot for Edgar Caro and Kyle Teal, the catchers? You know what I mean? Like, is the best teaching in the organization at Charlotte? Is it at Birmingham? Or is it with this new coaching staff under Will Venable that's been put together? I don't know where it is. Where do you think it is?
Well, I think the idea is that there's no longer going to be a best place for them to be, have the best instruction. I think in previous years, in the previous administration, there might be hot spots here and there where, a certain coach is great at teaching this, and a great hitting coach is, more analytically inclined to pass on information, and maybe the matriculation process for those players going up the chain was a little bit disjointed or a little one size fits all. So I think the idea with having Brian Bannister and then Ryan Fuller on the hitting side is that you don't have this best place, or you don't have spots to put your most treasured prospects, and everybody else is more or less considered an afterthought. I think it's more of a top-down approach that's preached up and down the organization. And I think, talking a little bit on the hitting side, is that you are seeing a little bit more of a cohesive message going down the chain, starting in spring training with just the machines they're working on, the drills they're working on and being able to pass it down. So, you know, given that there's been some shift in the minor league coaching ranks because of promotions and because of, you know, John Eli was a pitching coach in Birmingham last year. He retired to spend time with his young family. That, you know, it's been a little bit of shift. And so maybe you can't say, oh, this coach is great. This coach has done, you know, this certain facet with this player. I think it's more open-ended this year. But also, if the White Sox are doing it right, there won't be a great place for a prospect to go. They'll all be, you know, more or less equally sound, and maybe just the differences are on the margins.
That makes sense, because that's certainly the goal for any organization, is to have everything linear in that way. All right, so in that sense, how would you like to see the catcher thing play out? I like Corey Lee as a dude. Talked to him last week on this show. I think he's really embraced a lot of the handling of a pitching staff factors that he needed to embrace. But I really want to see the young catchers I mentioned before. How would you like to see that play out for you and for Sox fans to watch this year?
I wouldn't mind having them up immediately just for the content purposes. I guess a little selfish when having to write about them every day or talk about them every week. I certainly like having them right in front of me facing the best of the best and having the information in front of you. But the way it is right now, you know, in terms of a catching tandem, Lee and Matt Stice aren't bad, you know, for a team that's you know, projected to be as just abysmal as the White Sox are. Like, it's not a bad tandem. And given that catching ranks are pretty thin across the league, you could see some trade value emerge over the course of the season. So I think it's worth at least, you know, month and a half of letting Lee and Theis show what they can do at the major league level, see if any needs arise across the league before you know, calling Teal or Caro and thrusting them in the mix. And then one of those guys has to have a is the odd man out. I guess the one, you know, maybe you know, relief channel for just the crunch of catchers is if nobody merges as a true DH, maybe use DH as a way for like Teal or Caro to get some at bats without being expected to carry the entire game calling load, game preparation load, you know, for the major league staff. So I think those are, you know, maybe that's maybe the most realistic timeline and maybe one way that these guys can be used. When it comes to either Teal or Caro, you know, my mindset is more, you know, may the best man win at this point, because I think they're both equally exciting prospects. You know, I think they have different, you know, long-term projections, because Teal's a better athlete. But when it comes to just where they are right now and what Caro's shown the minors, I think it's perfectly fair to call either of them like the next best option to start behind the plate for the White Sox.
What does merit your attention and focus on the big league team the most these days? What do you find yourself really interested in on this team?
I think it's the pitching, just because there is a big proof of concept going on right now with the White Sox having, you know, they don't have Schultz, they don't have Smith up there right now, but they have a bunch of guys who should be able to fill out a major league rotation. And, you know, as we know, that, you know, those players are very valuable. To have players who are capable of taking starts, you don't think anything of them taking the ball every 5 days over the course of the season. It's very important for a team that wants to contend faster than usual to have like a guy who gives them a chance every day. So, you know, whether Davis Martin or Sean Burke is a, you know, real compelling pitcher to start opening day in the long run, you know, probably most teams wouldn't want to have them in the position to do that this early. But, you know, I think the hope is a year or two from now that they are maybe a number three, number four, you know, maybe if everything breaks right at number five, and all of a sudden that's a whole lot better. So I think, you know, when you have Martin, Burke, Cannon, Shane Smith, just trying to, you know, alter their arsenals to handle lefties better if they're righties, or, you know, have a changeup that gets them a third time through the order. With Smith, I think it's been really, Shane Smith, that is, really impressive that he gained three ticks of velocity from 1 year to another. So can he hold that as the season wears on? There are a lot of individual development stories in the starting rotation that I think are interesting. I think they can get lost a little bit when the bullpen is as shaky as it is, and when the offense is struggling to score runs and they're all, you know, have losing records and such. It might feel that there's not any development. So I think when it comes to starting pitchers who are done after five innings, six innings, like, it's worth watching them closely and then, you know, maybe hold on to your butts over the last three.
So I like that, the opportunity for proof of concept, because is Bannister and that realm of it, the realm of the organization that you feel best about in terms of hope, is that what gives you hope if there is some to grab?
Yeah, they have the longest track record, certainly, and they have success from outside the organization, which I think most White Sox fans and those watching the White Sox have wanted. You know, that's been the common refrain is the White Sox have been so insular that they promoted from within. They tend to, you know, or they've tended to hire coaches who used to be players for them. And you know, the cry is, you know, so many other teams are doing different things. Why don't you take these opportunities and learn from them? So, you know, Bannister felt like a coup, certainly, for bringing him in, and a good feather in Chris Getz's cap for being able to sell a well-regarded instructor on the organization's vision. So, you know, you would like to see that work out. I think, you know, right now the White Sox have been far enough away where you can't immediately judge, but this is a good year, I think, for seeing just exactly what Bannister could do. I think in terms of, yeah, I wouldn't consider it more of a team-wide thing. Like, I wouldn't expect the White Sox to be a middle-of-the-pack pitching staff just because the bullpen really is looking raggedy right now. And they're one injury away, I think, in starting the rotation from having an emergency just because of the way Tommy John surgery wiped out that Drew Thorpe, Kai Bush, Mason Adams tier that they were counting on for depth. So, yeah, all it takes is one injury to maybe throw your rotation into disarray. But, you know, to go back to, like, the individual development part, I think it's a case where if Cannon looks like a starter for years to come, Davis Martin, Sean Burke, et cetera, I think that'll be a good tally for Brian Bannister's column in terms of being able to round up their arsenals and the ones that can start.
Staying in Birmingham for the day, for another ball game today, what's the plan?
Looks like I'm heading back because there's all day rain. So it's been pretty lousy weather in the southeast. Birmingham's been able to avoid it for the most part. But yeah, woke up to thunderstorms and the map shows no signs of letting up. So I think I'm going to hit the road early.
Jim, thanks so much for the time. Keep doing the great work at Sox Machine. Appreciate you.
Thank you. We'll have to talk sooner next time.
I'm in. That's Jim Margulis from Sox Machine. Yeah, you know, there's other White Sox stuff that we can get into. I mentioned a nugget from Bob Nightingale about ownership, which I promise I will get into probably in the noon hour. We're here for a while today. We're here until 12:45 today. The young associate producer, this weekend help, he is grumpy about the extra 45 minutes that he has to work. It's really more like 38 minutes. And just, you know, toughen up. He could be out there, you know, working construction, you know?
I feel like as a 13-year-old, I wouldn't be allowed to work in construction.
That's probably true.
But
it's probably true. But, like, I mean, you're getting exposed to an entire realm of the entertainment business. So you're a very lucky boy to get to see this stuff. You know?
Well, yeah, that's fair, but
you get to hang out.
He also
with
said he got duped. You didn't tell him about the 12:45 thing.
No, so, he didn't all.
He was like, two more hours, and then I was like, well, about that.
Hey, kid, check the Cubs schedule, and welcome to my world. That's
oh,
how
God.
It works. We're here until 12:45 when Cubs pregame takes over. We are guest intensive. The next hour is going to be great. Give the kid a break. Eno Saris from The Athletic on a pitch that is sweeping the league and involves one Cubs player and one White Sox player. In fact, Chris Kampka from Marquee with awesome context on Ian Happ and 1,000 games and some other stuff. And then Big Lee Smith at 11:40. Keep it here on The Score.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores?
How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.